Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Hey, Paul, did you know that we have Pokemon in the lobby?
Yes, I've been telling everybody about that, but I don't want to let the secret out because then everybody will rush over here.
Oh, so you want to hog the Pokemon for yourself, is that it?
That's right.
You've been hanging around with your grandchild too
much. He taught me. You don't give away secret Pokemon. But yes, our building.
Your grandchild saying, don't give up secret Pokemon. Wow.
Yeah. Yes. And we have a, what do they call it, a gym or something nearby? Isn't that another one where they're like.
Wow, you're like really up to date on this.
We got some big
stuff
here.
Fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, baby boomers at their best.
Playing stupid games.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, no, but it was a couple months ago when I walked in, it was like, well, has it been a couple months? Maybe even sooner. When they announced that, you know, there's this thing called Pokemon Go, right? I walk into the lobby and I'm literally accosted by a Pokemon because I had to download the app. I didn't want to be left out from, you know, my nephews telling me all kinds of stuff and not being up to date on it, not being that cool uncle. Yeah. But, yeah, I was accosted by a Pokemon. And I actually told Paul when I came up here, I said, you know, they'll let anybody in this building now, right? And so I listened to him now, you know, like a month later or 6 weeks later, he's all like, there's a gym around the corner.
Well, our new engineer, Ernie, is really into this, and he's the one that turned me on to it. And he said he likes to sit because somehow when you come to get this Pokemon, then you can get jumped or taken or something. He waits at
I don't know what kind of app he's playing.
It's a trap he plays or something down there.
That's pretty funny. So anyway.
And you know what else today is? What? This is a big day for us here at Orange County
what
Talk
is it?
Radio. Today is National Waffle Day.
National Waffle Day?
Mm. I make those every Sunday.
Where are you?
Where are
we're
waffles?
Coming over.
Where are the waffles?
That's why I was telling you. I expected you to. You can still call.
Okay, so we may have to have a station meeting later. But usually, an advance note would be helpful.
Yeah. Okay. National Waffle Day. I just learned this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've been hanging around for a year and a half. You know, I'm supposed to like channel your deepest thoughts here, but no, it's not working. Right? We need to communicate.
National Waffle.
You want waffles? You're going to have to ask for them. So, and not to waffle anymore.
Oh, look at that!
That's a good sign.
not to waffle anymore. Before we introduce our guest, okay? There's another thing happening soon this month, actually, and I cannot believe that it's been 6 years. That this has been the case. And this is a pretty big deal because we say that the show is primarily senior focused or boomer focused.
It's an aging journey, right?
And one of the things that I think is interesting is I've been involved sort of in the senior industry peripheral even since 2008. And even since as recently as 2008, as a journey goes, the senior industry in Orange County has also changed.
Yeah.
Substantially, I think it's gotten more sophisticated. There's been more recognition of the efforts that everybody has done. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, God knows, I think everybody in this room knows that, you know, pretty much you could trip over senior agencies in Orange County. I mean, there's a lot.
Because you can trip over seniors, right. and many times I do.
Yeah. Or you get any older, you'll just trip.
I'll be the trip. Right. You know, when I was in my 20s...
I'll call Steve Carpenter for you.
Since I'm the aging baby boomer in the audience here, I think I'm the only one that qualifies for the aging baby boomer moniker here.
Yes, you are the poster child of baby boomers for the show.
You just wannabe.
Yes,
you just wannabe. Anyway,
I have to admit that I am officially
no, you
a baby
can't.
Boomer.
You can't be. Yes, you're on the young end of it here. I'm on the old end of it. So, when you said trip... I thought, boy, did trip have a different meaning in 20 when I was 20 than it
yes,
does now?
yes, bash hash.
The hash,
hash bash.
Yeah. A trip was something different.
You missed that show. We were,
70. I did. I'm sorry.
I went to the University of Michigan. They used to have a hash bash
In full disclosure, okay, I just would like to just let our guests know that for a year and a half that we've been doing this show, right,
okay.
Almost every single episode,
yes,
at some point or the other, has some turning around to become a therapy session for Paul.
Okay, it's all about for me to release and to let this
release
stuff out.
And let go. So
we can take care of you, Paul.
Can you? Okay. Yeah. All right, so.
Okay, so I'm just letting you guys know. Okay, so we usually, the way we deal with it is we just give him a little room.
Let him run.
Let him run. And then we rein him back in. So watch out for that, right? Okay. He'll do it. But, you know, one of the things that actually has been really great is to watch, like I said, the industry evolve and become more sophisticated, because I think there are so many people that are trying to be of service and provide for that population that in some cases efforts have been duplicated. And I think a few years ago, especially with the economy, there was a conscious effort made to try to corral a lot of these agencies into more of a collaborative effort, mm-hmm. to share resources, to share best practices and things of that nature. And I think out of that, and I'm not sure if it's chicken or the egg, but out of that came this thing called the HEROES, Senior Care Hero Awards. And I remember, I mean, I'm stunned that it's 6 years, honestly. I was like, I remember like, oh, didn't I just get an email about that? Like, there's a little thing, and it's going to happen. I can't remember.
6 years later.
When did they have it? Is it happening every year at the Nixon Library?
No.
Actually, it's not at the Nixon Library anymore.
But what was it, year one, year two?
There was 2 years.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They first started, was it at the Nixon Library?
In 2011 and 2012.
That's how far back I remember.
Yeah. We were at the Nixon Library. Well, in fact, the first year, it was not called the Senior Care Hero Awards.
What was it called?
The first year, it was called the Senior Care Humanitarian Awards. Mm. And
I'd rather be a hero than a humanitarian.
Yeah.
I like hero.
I heard that about you.
there's a cape underneath.
Oh, that was last year. We had the superheroes last year. Yes. It was the Senior Care Humanitarian. It was actually the first year it was formed. It was formed by a small collaborative of people in the senior care continuum. So Freddie's company, there was a hospice company, there was a home health, home care, Medi-Cal. There was all different companies. At that time, I was actually working for a senior care company for skilled nursing.
So that's Susan who's talking. So Susan, introduce yourself so people know.
I hope that's not Freddie talking. Right. Freddie.
that would be interesting.
Yeah, I don't have the accent.
That's the only way I can tell the difference. Right?
Okay.
I'm senior director for community relations for SeniorServe. My name is Susan Papiri. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I come from the skilled nursing field. I was a business development director for a large skilled nursing company.
Okay. And what does the company do that you work for?
The company that I do, SeniorServe, is the number one provider of senior nutrition and support services for Central and North Orange County.
And share some of the programs, too, because I think some people may be aware of you through some of the programs you guys offer. Yeah.
Because she promised before you came here that she was going to give us some resources
that
we would not know even exist. And that's what we've been waiting for. For a year and a half, we've been trying to get these
resources. You're always looking for a handout.
I'm looking for something free here. All the time.
You're
always
looking
me.
For freebies. Feed the producer. You see that sign over the door?
Waffles. Okay.
You got to add that to your scones,
whiskey.
What is
it's behind
bananas.
Me. I didn't see it.
Black bananas.
Black bananas. Because I'm the only one.
Susan, start with the daycare centers.
Yeah. So everybody knows us from Meals on Wheels,
right.
And the hot lunch programs. But what I want to talk about just specifically, briefly, is the greatest kept secret, I think, in senior care, and that is adult day health care.
Mm.
There's a really nasty word that we all try and avoid, and that's institutionalization.
Yes.
You know?
And warehousing them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, coming from skilled nursing, there is a very big need for that type of care at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
But that time can be pushed off so much longer than people realize.
Sure.
If you utilize the other services that are available in our community. So one of them is adult day health care. And 5 days a week from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., we have two centers, one in Santa Ana, one in Anaheim,
mm-hmm.
and you can bring your loved one there.
Mm-hmm.
And they receive pretty much the same services that you receive out of skilled nursing, which is, if the doctor prescribes it, physical therapy, mm-hmm. occupational therapy, mm-hmm. speech, but you also get activities, socialization, which is so key. You get the correct nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the medications you're supposed to receive the right way on time. So all of these things are keeping these people healthy mm-hmm. and helping the people caring for them mm-hmm. to live better lives. Because whether you're an adult
I was going to say keeping them at an institution.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Whether you're an adult child taking care of a parent mm-hmm. or you're an aged spouse, mm-hmm. you have probably promised your loved one, I'm never going to put you in a
Absolutely.
Home.
Right.
You know, but sometimes you just need to have more help. So if that aged spouse is caring for that person and then they're starting to have issues themselves because they're so overwhelmed, mm-hmm. this is a great, viable choice mm-hmm. that they can just do 2 days a week. If they only want to just say it's a wife caring for her husband mm-hmm. and she just needs to go get her hair done one day and go out with the girls mm-hmm. another day, she needs that break. It's that whole, you know, put the oxygen on first thing, take care of yourself first
yes,
before you
right.
can take...
Well, you know, that's a good analogy. It's like in the airplane. I never mm-hmm. thought of that until right. this moment. Put your own mask on first before you can take care of somebody else. Rod said this would come around to my life, so here's my little pitch right now.
You're my, early.
I'm early. I'm a little early today. Obviously, as I've said on the show a number of times, both my parents passed away a number of years ago. And before they did, my dad became a full-time caregiver to my mom, who had Parkinson's disease. And watching him lovingly try and take care of her as she deteriorated and got worse and worse and worse, couldn't get out of a wheelchair, couldn't feed herself, couldn't go to the bathroom, couldn't do anything, fell all the time, depressed, down, whatever, all these things that accompanied this slow demise. And he needed a respite. He mm-hmm. needed a break. And he felt so guilty he wanted mm-hmm. to go play golf or do something that somehow he was letting her down. So he tried to bring in a nurse or two just to sit there. And that was horrible because the nurse just sat there and watched TV. And my dad is like, one, I'm paying for this. This is ridiculous. And two, she's not doing anything. And, three, my mother feels even worse. Like, oh, great. I just have to have a, you know, a caregiver watcher or something here. All of it was terrible. Had there been a program out in Palm Springs that they knew of, what a wonderful idea to be able to take a break, because it is demanding mm-hmm. to take care of a loved one, particularly if you're old, too.
Well, here's the funny thing, right? We have no issue at all. Nobody even blinks an eye when you talk about child care.
None.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's our point.
Yes. It's not even an issue, right? I mean,
right.
You're
not a bad parent.
You get a child care.
Yeah,
you're right. Not a bad parent. You go on with your yeah. life. You have a productive work life. You whether you're dropping off the child at a parent or actually at childcare, right? And it's so accepted. Mm-hmm. So my question to you, Susan, is what is it? Is it a mental block that we have? Is it a
lack of awareness that this exists? Maybe
overly self consciousness about it. I mean, where does that? Why is it such a difference when it comes to somebody who's a senior?
Well, first of all,
or
because,
an elderly even.
Because you're dealing with somebody who themselves can say, hey, I'm an adult, I'm your husband, I'm your dad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me what to do. With mm-hmm. a child, you can tell them what to do.
Right. Sorry, you're going to do that.
So that's one thing. But the other thing is there's a lot of guilt that's associated with
the person dropping
that, you know,
them off.
I'm not doing what I'm supposed. I'm not being a good spouse.
I can't
I'm
handle
not being
it. Yes,
I'm
right.
not being a good daughter. This is saying I can't handle or I'm letting them down. I just have a really quick, funny mm-hmm. little story to tell you. Mm-hmm. We had a daughter who finally, she'd been there a few times. We called her back a few times. She finally said, yeah, I'm going to try this. I'm going to bring mom here. Mm-hmm. So she was bringing mom here, and we let them for like the first 3 days, if that caregiver wants to kind of hang out for a little while mm-hmm. just so that they feel comfortable and they can see what's going on. We let them do that. And then it's like kindergarten, you know, after that, it's like, bye.
Okay, bye, mom.
Yeah. So she had brought her mom, and after like the first 3 days, and she still wanted to stay, and the mom said, honey, please go. Please go.
You can go. I have my permission
yeah.
to go.
Because she was having a blast. Uh-huh. She was meeting new friends. She was doing activities.
And that's the other part of it, too, that people we talk about all the time in the show. Now I'm going through it with my 92-year-old maiden aunt who lives by herself out in Palm Springs. Moved out there to be with my parents thinking she'd die first, and they did. And now she's all alone in a little apartment. She can still get around. She gets Meals on Wheels. I want to do a tremendous shout-out for Meals on Wheels, and I want you to plug that program. Because until I never knew that program existed until she found this thing through some mm-hmm. resource. It's the most incredible program. It's completely free if you can't pay for it. They will take mm-hmm. donations if you can, but they will bring you a healthy meal that once a day. Without that, she could not live by herself. That's her lifeline. Now, what I'm interested in the daycare stuff is, because I didn't know there are places like this, she's alone all the day. Other than that person who brings her meals on wheels, she doesn't drive, she doesn't leave the apartment, she has a couple neighbors take her to a doctor once a week. Other than that, she sits and watches TV all day.
And actually that's the biggest problem with elderly and seniors, actually, because they're alone by themselves, and the family doesn't... Their kids live out of state.
Yeah.
Or
I live 2 hours
busy,
away.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right. They're busy, and well, then they cannot come and visit
and,
them.
And that, and for those who cannot recognize that very famous accent.
Very.
Freddie, introduce yourself, please.
Hi, I'm Freddie Dominguez.
Did you notice the change in his voice?
Hi, I'm Freddie Dominguez.
It's not a sports show.
No, I'm Freddie Dominguez. Actually, I work with Attentive Home Care. We provide caregivers for the elderly.
Yeah.
The company's been in business since 1999 and been with them for 5 years.
But, you know, it almost seems like Freddie has always been around and very involved
yes.
in the senior industry.
He's been on the show before several times.
I don't do anything. What are you talking about?
Yeah, see, we were teasing him. Actually, what have you been doing? You're just slacking. You don't do anything anymore. He is probably, you know, they say that the person is the busiest man in show business. This guy is probably the busiest man in the senior industry in Orange County.
Yeah.
And in part, not taking away from people who are busy, but there's not a lot of guys.
That's why Freddie got into it.
I'm giving you the compliment. but it's gauged a little bit, right? But I want to.
Freddie's a player.
That's true. And interestingly enough, we have somebody who's shadowing the show today in the studio, and I'll introduce him in a minute because the topic is very relevant. What you're talking about is self-imposed isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Exile, really.
Reasons for it, actually, because if a person has Alzheimer's or dementia, mm-hmm. they isolate themselves because they feel basically embarrassed. They cannot engage in conversations.
Mm-hmm. That was my mother. She would not want to go out in public and have anybody see her or pity her or feel bad. She didn't want her own family to see her at the end year. So she really went into complete isolation.
Exactly. And there's many, many factors actually that come into play.
There are people I know that basically their hearing starts to diminish.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't want to face the reality that they need a hearing aid. And they would rather stay at home rather than basically go out and basically constantly feel like somebody is needing to talk to them louder or that they have to pretend that they can hear
you. But
I mean, it can be as simple. What I'm saying is it can be as simple as that.
Yes.
A lot of people think that it's only because, you know, there's physical impairment
or
whatever. There's emotionality aspects to it that have nothing to do with physicality, have nothing to do with dementia, have nothing to do with diminished capabilities.
But it really goes to what he's saying. Again, I can say from personal experience, my mother with Parkinson's the last couple of years, we have some relatives back in Minnesota. And occasionally I would hear from one of them, they'd say, well, why don't you come back? We'd love to see your mom. You know, we hear about her, but we'd love to see her. And I finally had to tell them, she doesn't want to see you. And it isn't because she doesn't love you. She just doesn't want anybody to see
her.
No, actually, another thing, going back to the early conversation, why people refuse care or not, number one is because either they're not aware of the services,
mm-hmm. right.
but the main reason actually is denial. They are in denial. They said, no, I'm not old. I don't need anybody to help me.
Right.
I don't need a caregiver. I don't need your help. I don't need your advice. I know better. So they are...
Taking care of myself my whole life.
Exactly. And that's the biggest mistake, the biggest problem, until they realize what they were missing and all the help that they could have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
But after, they're like, oh, my God, thank you very much. That was amazing. Like all the help, respite care, from the caregiver perspective... Also, because a caregiver cannot be there 24 hours.
Right.
No.
Or the senior realizing that if they live by themselves, how much...
But I think if I had any qualms with how we provide senior services, okay, is that we don't really educate early enough.
Yes, and mm-hmm. we are really
It's a reactive versus a proactive mm-hmm. process.
You only think about it when you have to. Nobody faces it until then.
And that's part of what Freddie was saying is the fact that there is a denial, mm-hmm. there is a pride, mm-hmm. there is a big fear.
Mm-hmm.
You see somebody who's declining, and you're like, oh, my gosh, is that going to happen to me? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen then? So it is, unfortunately, a very human thing to just say, I'm not going to mm-hmm, think about that. I'm not going to deal with that until I have to.
I'll share this, though, Susan. I mean, and this is just on purpose, I'm taking it out of the human equation. I'm putting it on something that's symbolically different. I'm president of the San Clemente Historical Society. We have 200 buildings that are old, okay, that are historically listed in San Clemente. An odd situation in Orange County to have that and not have it be on some heritage park with a fence around it and says, you know, buy a ticket and go into historic history land, right? But... here's the thing. Proactive and celebrate instead of reactive and save is a huge... It sounds very simple, right? But it's such a game changer if your approach is that. That's why I'm really thrilled about the awards, because it actually is celebrating, right?
Yes.
Celebrating and engaging. And in we had people here that were millennials that were basically getting involved in the senior care industry, right? Mm-hmm. So that educational process, if it starts earlier, then our options are more.
Well, and
the opportunities
and our knowledge base grows.
Yeah, and the knowledge base grows.
You are forced, again, this is my own personal experience, at the moment that you don't want to think about any of this stuff, it hits you in your face. Your mom falls or dad falls or something terrible happens and you're forced to deal with this. All of a sudden, in the midst of this emotional trauma, where you're redefining your own relationship with your parents. Suddenly, you're the parent. Mm-hmm. I'm wiping my dad's butt.
Yes.
This is a big, strong guy that I always looked
dropping
up to.
Dropping him into elder care.
Yeah, right. I mean, this is just not... this wasn't a role reversal I was ready for, that I was thinking about and prepared for. At that moment, you have to go and suddenly figure out, where do I go? What do I do? And everything you find is confusing or expensive or both.
And actually, because I work with home care, I come across that all the time. 70-80% of my clients, they have no idea. Just their parent and their dad.
Medicare is going to pay for it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what they're expecting. They're not expecting a private. They have to pay out of pocket. And also, too, they don't know what to do. They have no clue. And then the mom, they wait also to the last minute.
Yeah.
2 days before, 3 days before discharge. And they're like, oh, I need to do this. I need to do that. Yeah. And they're all in chaos.
You know, when we did this, when we started the show about a year and a half ago, we had no clue what we were doing, honestly, right? And we...
Can you tell?
You're still there.
It may sound like we don't know what we're doing.
Still show?
But yeah, a year and a half later. But it was interesting because I remember when I told Paul, I said, the one thing I don't want to do is have a conversation with somebody for an hour about incontinence and adult diapers. Right? But what has come out of it is, and I think it's out of a sort of organic need, is that we don't have these conversations. We don't talk about this stuff. People don't want to talk to somebody, whether you're a financial planner or whatever. I don't want to talk to you about the fact that there's an end-of-life situation, that nobody's getting out alive. I don't really want to talk about that. And then add to that complexity that you live in an environment where everything around you is young and new and nobody gets older. We don't do seasons in California. Yeah. You know, there's no change that happens here. Otherwise,
we blow up old buildings and we just replace them. Nothing old here.
I think the encouraging thing is that whenever somebody engages in this conversation on whatever level, whether it's preventing elder abuse, whether it's serving the community, it actually is very empowering.
I was just going to say that, Paul. And to that point specifically,
That's okay.
Rod. To that point.
Did you see the look on his face? Paul?
Yeah,
like, wow.
I did see that.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, but,
he was like,
you're the first one that said hi to me. So
there you go.
So anyway.
I'm just going to leave.
Right.
We baby boomers stick together.
Yeah, we do. To that point, though, yeah. Rod. If you consider turning that whole thought process 180 and you realize that what you're doing when you deny is you are giving up all of your choices.
Yes.
And what Absolutely. You'll see in all of the advertising, one of our big healthcare insurance companies, I won't say the name, but they say Thrive. Mm-hmm. You'll know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Wellness, choice, these are all the things that we all want to emphasize when it comes to what we are looking at now, because all of us baby boomers and behind, we are seeking education, seeking knowledge. We don't know what we don't know, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, where do we seek it? That's where our industry has to really step up and start talking less about the incontinence products and more about the resources.
Why are you
resources.
Looking at me, Rod, when she says that?
I wasn't going to say anything.
I'm starting to see those cargo shorts that I like, to be honest. They got a lot of pockets. Now I understand why they have a lot of pockets.
Yeah. But, the resources, the choices, from things like doing an advanced directive and stating everything you want to have happen so your kids don't have to fight about it when you can't speak about it, down to what kind of care. If this happens, it's okay for you to look for a place like X for me.
Mm-hmm.
boy, that releases a lot of guilt for that child or that spouse. So these are the things that we need to talk about. These are the things we need to educate. You know, the things that Freddie's services, when, you know, you can get somebody that can come into your home if you've got somebody who absolutely refuses to go out. And there are many who do. So you have to deal with that, but still get them the care. You know, the things that we do. You were talking, Paul, about Meals on Wheels.
Fantastic program.
And it's more than a meal, because what happens, that meal doesn't just get shipped to you, it's delivered to you.
Yes. Right, so there's a human contact.
There's a person there that is socializing, you know, once a day, 5 days a week.
Making sure you're alive. My aunt looks forward to that gentleman who brings
and,
the meal
and sometimes, and sometimes that person is the only person that they see.
Yeah.
And that's
that's my aunt. That's the only person she'll see for days.
And even more than the socialization, we have had drivers who have literally been the difference between life and death.
Life and death with that person.
Because they're knocking, nobody's answering, they keep knocking, they might hear a voice, or they'll let our case managers know, because every person that's part of our Meals on Wheels program has a case manager.
Tell us about the Meals on Wheels program just quickly. And I know we've got a lot of things to talk
about. Yeah, and specifically, I don't think...
Who administers it? How does this... Is this a federally supported program, I think? Or
partially.
Yeah.
But Susan, also, I think, and it's worth repeating, we've had it discussed before on the show, is just how many people you guys actually help. I mean, I don't think people have any clue.
Yeah. Well, for our program, for SeniorServe, we serve 900 people a day.
A day in Orange County here?
Orange County.
Yeah.
Wow. Affluent, upscale, happy, young Orange County. There's 900 people a day. This is their only lifeline that keeps them alive.
Yeah. Yes.
We have a hot lunch program that serves many more. So we're serving about 2,000 people, 2,000 meals a day.
Wow. And so give us some statistics. Like, how many meals did you guys serve last year?
So last year we served almost a million.
Wow. A million meals. And there's no cost for it. You give what you can.
Exactly.
This is not an
So how is that program funded?
So we do receive some federal funding, some state funding. We even get what's called CDGB funding from certain cities and so forth. So we get different funding. But you know what? Mostly we rely upon grants. Personal donors, people who just have a heart for seniors and don't want to see them eating dog food, and our main event, our fundraiser.
And this is not an organization. This is not. I mean, this is one of the programs that SeniorServe does, but this is an organization that has its heritage going back
50 years. Next year, guys, 50 years.
And actually, they not only do the Meals on Wheels, the daycare centers, but they also have case managers that basically, and they provide also home care for seniors. Somebody to come in once every 2 weeks or once
a month. We contract with people like Freddie to do that.
So that way they can take care of those seniors, as well as the care case management.
My aunt just had somebody call her up out of the blue, and there's some pilot program that it was somehow part of Obamacare. And the idea was that somebody coordinates care between all her different physicians because she goes to her doctor and he gives her a pill. She goes to another specialist, he gives her a pill. And they never think about, do these two really work together? Nobody ever – there's supposed to be a primary caregiver who's supposed to be that kind of gatekeeper, but it really doesn't happen. And she, my mother's case, she got up like 10, 12, 15 pills. And we start saying, this is crazy. She's drugged out all day. You know, somebody's got to look at this and decide – is this
That's why they need to have a case manager. And also, too, actually, the Obamacare and the healthcare industry, Medicare in general, is moving more towards avoiding readmissions.
Yes.
Hospitals are very, very
proactive. Don't they even get penalized or something?
Yes, they get, finally, they're starting to get really serious because they get penalized for every patient. Now they have
For readmission.
For readmissions, yes, for readmissions. Now they have basically that 30-day readmissions or 90 days for a hip and knee. And eventually, the readmissions actually next year and the following year is not going to be 30 days anymore. It's going to be 90 days. So,
but you know, there's clever games around them. My aunt has fallen a number of times. She was in the hospital, and then she fell again within that 90-day period.
Yep.
They did not admit her into emergency. They kept her under observation overnight.
Exactly.
And then sent her home. So then I thought, why did they do this? And I, because they don't get penalized.
Exactly.
Actually admitting her.
So now the whole focus is to get the seniors and basically after surgery right away to the house. Home health and skilled nursing facilities are going to be penalized as well. So it is a
starting
big
change.
Yeah, it's a big change coming up for the whole
penalize
seniors.
If you come back? Is that if
yes.
they uh-huh. release you,
yes.
and, you mm-hmm. and you come back?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, because it's basically a performance-based.
Yes.
Or at least the idea is it's performance-based. If you've taken care of that person,
exactly.
why are they being readmitted?
Exactly. Because the old thing was, once you left the hospital, we gave you all your resources, go.
Yes.
Because if you come back, well, we get to charge mm-hmm. Medicare again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They didn't care. They didn't
yeah, actually, it was from a financial business plan. It was beneficial
right.
for them for you to come back often.
Exactly.
As you're
rotating.
Exactly.
And can I just share with you one of the other things that was the biggest shock to me as I started dealing with all of this? Under trauma always, mom's in the hospital, dad's in the hospital, my aunt's in the hospital, and suddenly they're saying they're going to leave. And I'm like, how can they leave? They can't walk. They can't do this. Mm-hmm. They've medically got, I mean, on the one hand, Medicare wants to push you out of the hospital because they want to cut costs, too. They don't want you to stay in there for a long period of time. So once they sort of stabilize you and I forgot the technical term, but you've kind of
plateaued.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. Once you've plateaued, they take you out, and you might not be ready to go home yet. So then they say, well, you go to a skilled nursing home, whatever you want to call it mm-hmm. here, and then they stay there 30 days unless you
yeah,
get some extension.
It's like a transitional housing. And
yeah.
then they basically.
Yes. So my point is this. Nobody at any of these steps tells the family what to do. They give you a couple of options, and they say, well, it's not up to us to pick or choose or whatever. We're not going to tell you. And you say, well, what would you do if this was your mother or loved one? Oh, no, I can't address that here. Go figure it out. And you're like, go figure it out? I don't even know what I'm trying to figure out here.
Sure, I deal with this every day. I mean,
right. I'm an expert at this. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well,
very, very, very frustrating.
You know, from the design side of things, it always was very strange to get those calls, and somebody says, well, we're discharging somebody in 10 days, so you need to basically retrofit their house.
Yeah. For tomorrow, 10 days, that's a long time,
well,
2 days.
Or a week, right? And it actually kept getting shorter. But the point is this. When you're reactively doing something like this, this is a person that just basically suffered a major emotional,
traumatic,
life-changing
yes.
activity. And
they've had a stroke or hopefully something.
Hopefully they haven't been coming back over and over and over to the hospital, right? But they're not being released. So while they are in this most vulnerable of states recovering, you're about to go into their house, their safe haven, and basically
butcher
the heck out of their bathrooms and butcher the heck out of their kitchen, or whatever you need to do to put in these life and sustaining things, grab bars, things like that.
Remove the threshold.
So now they're going to be released into a house that's also damaged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yet, it could have easily proactively been yes. planned better had somebody actually risked having a conversation that was uncomfortable with somebody. Right? And so I think it's interesting that whether it's generational, mm-hmm. that it's the boomers, it's not the sort of the World War II generation, or older, it's the younger people that maybe are a little bit more open to seeking information, having conversations like this. It could also be the way that we went through economically, where families came together out of financial necessity, and there's sort of a reconnection with generational,
mm-hmm.
But let me ask you a question.
That we are more receptive as a society.
We're overdue to take a break. But let me ask you one question before we go to the break, and we'll come back and finish talking about the awards and all the other things here. I wonder if the boomers are any better prepared for what's coming than our parents are. And I'll say it for this way. My parents were planners. They were World War II, Depression era. They planned their retirement. They planned everything.
They're not.
What they didn't plan for was to live as long as they did.
Yes, that's correct.
So they started running out of money and running out of... My dad thought if he could live to be 70, that would be a long time. He lived to be 92. So he wasn't prepared for that other 22 years.
You better plan, Paul.
Better plan. Now, I'm a baby boomer, and we're in denial. I'm the Peter Pan generation. I'm never going to get old, right?
Yep.
And so I don't hear anybody. We're financially unprepared. We are mentally unprepared for mm-hmm. taking care of our parents
yes.
and the role mommy and daddy, and now I'm going to be the person providing care. And I don't hear anybody in my circle of friends ever want to talk about any of this stuff. When I started going through it, they didn't want to hear about it.
Right, but there's an aspect of the baby boomer generation that you're missing, and maybe it's because you're getting older.
Probably.
And you're kind of giving up.
Yeah,
maybe,
right.
I mean, it's actually kind of funny. We've gotten more jaded as we've done this show, because when we first started doing the show, baby boomers are going to change the world. And in the last couple of months, we've kind of been like really down on the baby boomers. Yeah, they don't know any better than their parents, right? It's going to be the same. But I'll tell you something about baby boomers that, from my perspective, watching you guys, okay?
As a wannabe.
Is as a wannabe, okay? I mean, there's a reason why I'm a wannabe, right? If you guys had nothing to offer, I wouldn't want to be, right? But I will say this. you're also very innovative.
Yes.
And so you have been, quote-unquote, flying by the seat of your pants for your whole lives, right?
Amen.
Every phase of life.
Yeah.
And I think what you're maybe lacking in organized planning,
right?
Okay, you make up for in spades about with creative, out of the box, innovative approaches, because you are not limited. You don't have the restrictions of saying, this is the box that I was told, yes, and I accepted, I have to play in.
Yes.
They're not going to heck with the box. I'm going to go make a circle over there.
I'm not going to listen to my doctor. I'm going to go do research it myself. I'm not going to take what everybody says. I'm not going to accept when you say no.
I think maybe baby boomers honestly very much exemplify the old saying about, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. Mm-hmm. Because if you really look back at a lot of the stuff that where the society had, you know, when you're getting old, you're getting so many kids born, and then you know diapers and all that stuff we talk about that was a result of the boom.
Right.
But when you got engaged in living and society, every step of the way, whether it's technology, whether whatever,
we changed what it was to be a teenager.
Really changed
we changed what it was to be a hippie. We went from hippies to yuppies. You know, we went from one extreme to the other extreme. We've redefined every stage of life.
So I think you will do so here too. But I think there will be a certain benefit of the seasoning as well. Mm. That it won't be just relevant to me benefiting from it. It will be also where this is a legacy that continues. That we have shifted the narrative now on senior and aging. Before we go to the break, though, would you guys both give the websites for your for SeniorServe and stuff, Susan?
For SeniorServe itself, it's just SeniorServe without the E at the end, .org.
And then, Freddie, would you give yours?
Because we're baby boomers. Attentive, we have to be different. We can't put an E at the end there, right?
For my company, it's attentivehomecare.com.
Okay. Go ahead, Cranky. Take us to a break.
Attentive with three T's. No.
Ten T's.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
And
you gotta wait for the mics to go on.
Yeah, we're back. Is the mic on?
Yes.
Hello. All right, we're back. And I want to take the remainder of the show and actually talk about, we touched on it a little bit, the Senior Care Hero Awards. It's the sixth year that this is taking place. I understand the venue. Is it the same as last year's venue?
Yes, we are at the Grove. This is our fourth year now at the Grove.
At the Grove. Great venue.
Grove of Anaheim.
Groovin' at the Grove.
Love. You're such a baby boomer. So, Susan, why don't you give us a little background on this, a little history, and then maybe the categories and so forth.
Sure. Well, Freddie was one of the originals when we started this back in 2011. And as I was saying before, it kind of came out of a small collaborative of people that were in the continuum of care. And we chose SeniorServe at that time to be the recipient of the proceeds.
Mm-hmm.
So the next year, the two main people that started that small collaborative went to Holly Hagler, the CEO at SeniorServe, and said, you know what? We think this is a great event, and we're still behind it, but we're not event planners.
Mm-hmm.
And our small collaborative was kind of being absorbed into this larger one.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked if SeniorServe would like to kind of just take it over as their fundraiser, mm-hmm. and Holly said, absolutely. So they changed it to Senior Care Hero Awards. Mm-hmm. We went online with it? Because that first year, oh my gosh, Freddie, you remember, it was all paper.
The first year, it was all paper. Actually, I was until like 2 o'clock in the morning doing the the program.
It was crazy.
Freddie, if it's okay, whatever you're comfortable sharing this, but would you give a plug for some of those people that actually innovated this, brought it?
Yeah, who put this together
in the beginning?
Give us some names. We know you forget some of them.
I'm really bad with names. How about Susan?
Okay.
Who was part of that?
I'm going to say that our two founders, the ones that we recognize as our founders, is Ed Schramm with Care Choices
and Wanda
Crow with Horizon Support Services. They really were the people that spearheaded this.
Yeah.
The rest of us, some of them are still on our council. We have, you know, Freddie, myself, Debbie Ricker, who was an occupational therapist with the same company I was with and now has her own company.
And what's the council? What's the name of the council?
This is the Council of Advisors for Senior
Care.
So
basically the committee that
puts this on.
Susan or Freddie, either one of you wants to take the question. What was the intention?
So intentionally what we initially wanted to do is get the word of our collaborative out. So we thought, you know, hey, we'll have this event. And then coming from skilled nursing, I said, you know, I really want to see us do something that honors people, especially those caregivers. They do the most for the least money and work the hardest.
And in many cases, not really celebrated.
Right.
Exactly. And then at the beginning, it was kind of going towards the caregivers. Mm-hmm. But after many conversations figuring out, then we basically develop different categories.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now, basically, for the 6 years.
So what are the categories?
So the categories are, a few years after we started, began having people's choice categories. Mm-hmm. Those are non-professional. When I say non-professional, I mean not in the medical field.
Right.
And we have veteran, volunteer, senior, and family caregiver. Now, those people's choice categories are decided, the recipient is decided specifically by just the public vote. You can vote once a day, every day on the site. Now, the professional categories, caregiver, social worker, nurse, physician, executive director, and then there's kind of that other category that carries everything else, and it's called the senior care professional.
Senior care professional.
And in fact, I have to say, Freddie is one of the nominees in that.
Very well deserved.
And so do you have to be a professional to vote in those professional categories?
You don't have to be a professional to vote in any category.
And actually, you don't have to be a professional to nominate anybody as well. Anybody can nominate
anybody.
And the issue that we come across is that so many people do so much for the elderly community, and they're not recognized at all.
Not even by
the employer. Nobody.
Right.
And those people are so humble. Actually, when you go nominate,
They're not even doing it for the recognition in any shape or form.
Exactly.
They're doing it to give and be of service.
Exactly. Yeah. So we really need to everyone go out there and figure out who those people are and recognize.
Everybody has a hero. The thing is, you know, take 15-20 minutes of your day. It's worth it to honor that person. You have no idea what you're doing for that person. I'm going to tell a really quick story.
Sure.
One of the nurses that is nominated this year, we just were at a collaborative meeting with her. She shared with the crowd, she said, you know, I've been doing this for 15 years. She said, people don't think about the really nitty-gritty stuff that nurses do. She said, I've been on top of a gurney giving compressions to somebody's chest with blood splattering in my face. I've stuck my finger in a bullet hole. And she was just graphically saying all the things she's done. And she said, in my 15 years, I've been thanked 3 times.
Wow. And she was so, actually, we were there, and she was so honored. Actually, I even recorded a video of her saying all of this.
Let me share with you guys something. I started a foundation in San Clemente a number of years ago, and we put out a proclamation of distinction. And it was basically the language, and I can't remember it exactly, but something about, you know, no difference than a tree that just happens to be there providing shade. It doesn't do it to be recognized. It's just something that it does, right? And it was fascinating. We gave that proclamation of distinction to a number of people. A few of them have been extremely involved in giving in the community, right? And yet, it was mind-blowing how that those people had never been recognized. Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they don't do it for recognition.
Right.
But if we do this, if we join together and all do this, we are elevating everyone in the field that are doing things above and beyond for the senior industry.
Oh, absolutely.
Or as seniors, so that we can show people, you know, senior isn't a dirty word.
Well, it goes back to what we were talking about, Susan, which is that the narrative on this topic needs to be something that's celebratory versus
exactly.
something we avoid until we have no other choice but to face it.
Right.
Uh-huh, okay?
Sure. Right.
Because then it's something that's embraceable, that's something that we can be proud of, it's something that will basically, as simple as draw people to it in order to be providers or what have you, versus, oh my God, I got no other choice but to basically be involved.
Yeah, and also to, sorry.
Go ahead.
Actually, also too, by nominating those people, you're recognizing those people,
mm-hmm.
and by the more people you nominate, the bigger the event gets, and the bigger the Hero Awards gets, the more money we're able to raise for Meals on Wheels, Senior Serve.
Absolutely.
And that
general.
Is the other piece.
So, right.
So
I mean, let's be also, you know, sort of very real about it, right? Mm-hmm. There is a monetized reason.
Well, that's right.
Because we get sponsors, basically. The caregiver doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
The person that gets nominated doesn't cost them anything.
Right.
We bring them to the show, all the finalists, actually. We give them 2 tickets to come and attend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we did do this fundraiser to raise money for SeniorServe.
Don't you think they need to add a category about media?
I was going to suggest maybe we should do one for radio show, best radio show that highlights.
Okay, all right, then you need to actually.
You fit into that other.
I'm always one of those other.
If I had a dime for every time I did that during my life.
Okay, actually, but bribes don't count.
Don't
here,
work.
So don't
okay,
work.
Right.
So don't even go there.
I'm not giving you my dime.
You know, I do want to say, too, it literally is like the Academy Awards.
Yeah, yeah.
You come there and the spotlights are going.
The red carpet
is there. There's paparazzi. There's a step and repeat mm-hmm. background where you get your professional picture mm-hmm. done. There's entertainment. There are little video vignettes, and mm-hmm. there's an explanation of what SeniorServe does and what it means to the people.
And for
people.
Those watching the live stream, we're going to hold up the vote.
Yeah, Susan, would you hold up your award? Because
hold it up for the camera.
It has your name on it.
Yeah.
So that camera right there.
And Chief carries this with her in her purse
in
at
all
times.
All times.
Okay. Would you get that close to the camera, Freddie? Let people look at the plaque.
And it is it's a heavy, substantial award.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
It is gold plated.
Now, I expected you to have theme music when she picked up her award, Paul, so you've got to work on your timing a little bit.
Yeah, Paul, no singing, no playing.
would you like to give a speech for her? There they are. It actually does have her name on it.
Okay.
And she brought her own award.
Now I get why she's been carrying it all the time.
Of course, she has to brag about it.
Oh, I thought she was just to wear this around your neck, Paul.
I want to thank the Academy for...
Do you mind? It's Senior Surf Superhero. Very nice. It came with a cape or no?
I don't wear it anymore.
Oh.
I just keep it in the closet.
2012 Senior Care Hero Awards. That's wonderful, Susan.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing
that's
that.
That's great.
That really is.
That was before I worked. In fact, they asked me if I wanted to come on board after this.
Right.
As an employee, of course, I would not ever have gotten or accepted that. That's when I was still doing this as a volunteer.
Right.
I want everybody to know. As far as the awards go, I tell everybody this. You come to that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the people that are nominated. Their pictures go up. Then the recipient of the professional categories are announced that night. They don't know
mm-hmm.
who is going to be winning or receiving that award.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're walking up, we're reading the story mm-hmm. that got them that award.
Oh.
So when mm-hmm. you leave, you are changed.
Amazing. Yeah.
You are literally
so many amazing stories.
So thankful. If you're in that industry, it's like, man, that's why I'm mm-hmm. in this industry.
And it must be a motivator for those who say, why am I doing this? It's so frustrated. I'm not getting paid a bunch of money. Nobody cares. Nobody watches.
I hear that all the time. Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, wow, somebody cared.
Yeah. Exactly. So the event is actually on Saturday, October 15th,
yes.
2016. Nominations are open through August 31st, 2016. I'm not going to plug myself. and the people who know me know that I'm not kidding. Sponsorship available at seniorcarehero awards.org. And again, you should check out the website. Go nominate people that you think have not, you know, deserve to be recognized.
Somebody that you came across over the past year who helped your loved one in a situation where they were vulnerable.
Well, and celebrate our champion heroes. It says someone you know, a doctor, caregiver, or neighbor, is making a difference in the lives of seniors. Honor them at the 6th annual gala. And the only thing that I don't see on here, what you mentioned, is that it actually takes place at the Grove.
It does.
And actually, basically, just go nominate as many people as you can.
Yeah, go online.
And then
buy tickets. SeniorCareHeroAwards.org.
Then buy tickets and support it and go do that, because the money all goes for a wonderful cause, Meals on Wheels and adult daycare and other things like that.
If you have any questions, also, you can also go to the website or contact Susan or
myself. The website is?
www.SeniorCareHeroAwards.org.
HeroSingularAwards.org.
Yeah. Yes.
And how can people reach you guys other than that? If they have any questions, or
you can reach me at 714-229-5284. That's my direct line at SeniorServe.
And you can reach me at 562-489-6550.
And Paul wrote down the number. I think he's going to be calling you anyway. I'm hoping for
because he's going to nominate you.
I think
no.
I'm going to nominate Rod.
No, don't. But that's really very cool, and I appreciate you coming and sharing.
Thank you for having us.
It's been really great. You guys are welcome anytime. And
come back after or tell us who won.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to basically check this thing out. It's pretty amazing, and it's just growing. So if you're not aware of this, you really should be aware of it. If you have any questions for Susan or Freddie, you know, the information they've just given it, if you're listening to this podcast, or you can always reach me at Rod, R-A-A-D, period, Gantus, G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S, at gmail.com, or you can call me on my cell, 949-212-8299, or reach us at the octalkradio.net website. We will be more than happy to connect you guys with whoever is our guest on the show, and especially these two amazing people. So, Paul, anything else from you before we call it a day?
That's it. Got to do it. Thanks for coming, and we'll have to show up and see if we can capture some footage there.
That'd be great. Yeah.
That'd be great.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.